Okay, so we're recording the call now, so we've officially started. I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome the new power agents. I also want to welcome some of you. I know that you had to wake up at some odd hour because you're at some other part of the world, and so thanks for doing that. Let me just go over a couple of things. I always spend the first 60 seconds going over just so people are clear. First of all, the call is live, so we are recording it. There's no delay, so not like television, so don't say anything weird or inappropriate unless I give you a reason to do so. Yes, that was a joke. One person got it. Okay, if you are in your office, do not use a hold button. If you decide to get away from the call because we're going to hear your company commercial on hold and we don't want to do that. If you're on a speakerphone, you may want to mute yourself. And how you mute yourself, and right now the call sounds really good, so no one has to do this. Anyway, I'm not even going to tell you how to do it because I'd rather you not. I like to hear the actual live people on the call. And that's about it. Okay, so that's it for ground rules. Let's go over. And by the way, it's easy during the call to kind of drift because you don't have anything visually stimulating you. It's just really listening. So it's really good if you can, if you're in a place where you're not getting distracted and, you know, you're not doing something else on your computer or something, because you're just going to miss some of what we're going to talk about. So here's the reminder of the call. What we do every month on these power calls is, number one, is to go through the magazine, which is uploaded on the Power Program website. Now, I'm just going to say this for the people that this is their first time. When you go to the website, thepowerprogram.com, you have to log in with your username and password first. Once you do that, you'll see the magazine on the homepage for this month, and you'll see a recording of a top agent that we did this month, and you'll be able to access that information. If you're not in front of the computer right now, you don't have your username and password, whatever the case is, well, just hang in there with me. I am going to go through the magazine, and I'll try and, you know, read some pieces of each page that I want to highlight. So even if you don't have it in front of you, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But no matter what, make a note of the page and perhaps what I'm saying, so when you can get to the site and open up the magazine, you can then read your notes and correlate it. The next thing that I'm going to do after the magazine, I'm going to open the call to questions. Now, I prefer you guys to actually email me each month anything that you want to ask me. And I think I only got one email this month for whatever reason. So the rest of you on the call, you have a real, I think, great opportunity to ask me anything that you need help with. So after I do the magazine, I'm going to open it up to you. So between now and when I do that, you may want to write down any questions that you have. I want you to think about your business. What are you struggling with? What do you need some help with? If you're going to just, you know, have a breakthrough in one area, what would that be and what would you like to address? So this will be an opportunity to ask me to help you, okay? The last thing is, assuming we have the time, then I will give you, here's some tips what I think you should be doing the next 30 days. So with that said, let's go over the magazine. And the first part, by the way, if you guys lost your username and password or something, you can just call my office after the call and they can give it to you. Or you can do it during the call if you want, but I'd rather you not. Okay, so on page 22, when you go in the magazine, the first part of the magazine every month, I give you the transcription of the top agent that we interviewed so that we can you can read along and highlight and take notes and stuff like that. So the interviews are pretty awesome. After the interviews, then there's slides and ads and stuff. So here on page 22, there is an ad that I thought was really great that was on a website, and I think it could be a great flyer. And so just make a note of that, page 22, it's from a company in Du Bois, in the country Du Bois. And so I'd like you to, am I saying that right, Du Bois?
Dubai.
So you should, so it's really great. I love the ad. I love the pictures. I love the verbiage. It was promoting their web portal, and I think it was really well done, so I wanted to give you that. On page 23, this is an agent, Dick Maths, that he does some really great ads, some really great flyers. This one is many, many reasons to list with Dick Mathis. And he goes through things like Mathis can save you money, having a large pool of qualified prospects, blah, blah, blah. Mathis can save you the time, substantiating the listing price with competitive market analysis. By the way, he referenced competitive market analysis. I haven't taught this in a long time. Let me just tell you, instead of calling a CMA a CMA, instead of calling it a competitive market analysis, I've gotten something better for you that I'll suggest, and that is calling it a neighborhood market report. Okay. Now, and when I used to teach this, the power agents love this. Neighborhood market report. There's a couple of reasons why it sounds great. Number one is it sounds unique because everybody will call it a CMA or competitive market analysis. It's the same exact thing. You're just giving it a different name. Neighborhood market report. It sounds more official. It's a report. It talks about the market. It talks specifically to the neighborhood. Now, I would actually give it a tagline. So I would call it a neighborhood market report. Find out what your neighbors have paid for their home. Now, what's really great about that tagline, find out what your neighbors have paid for your home. We all know that, you know, homeowners are really kind of curious people and, you know, or nosy, if you will, and they would really love to know what their neighbor paid for their house. If there was anybody that moved into a neighborhood recently, boy, that would just really catch their attention. And that's what a comp is. That's what a comp is. It tells you here's what the property sold for. But by saying find out what your neighbors have paid for their home, that's just going to make the phone ring a lot more when you promote that. So anyway, so Dick Mathis, his ad I think was really awesome. Now this one here, you know, we just came off of, I think I'm looking at our calls here, and I know we have some agents from Long Island that are on the conference call right now. And we just did the Long Island Sure Results program, my 3-day course. And the focus of that program is really helping agents get better at prospecting for sale by owners and expireds. And a lot of agents had a tremendous amount of breakthroughs in that regard. And one of the cool things that happened with a lot of the agents, but I'm thinking of one specifically, Mary, is the FSBOs actually, after leaving a certain message that I taught in the class on the voicemail, that FSBOs are actually calling them. So, you know, obviously calling FSBOs and expireds is important and it's a good thing. But when they call you because they're responding to either an ad or a message that you left them, those are the best simply because they're expressing an interest that they want to work with you. And so what this thing is here on page 24 is this guy, Joe Brazen, he created this wedding invitation-looking piece. And he mailed it out. And for those of you who don't have the magazine in front of you, it says the Brazen Group, so he's part of a team, right, says the Brazen Group Real Estate Company currently has a client interested in purchasing property in the so-and-so neighborhood. And then on the back side of it, if you have any interest in allowing your property to be shown to a prospective buyer, please call me. Well, I just think that that's an awesome mailing piece. And, you know, you can do this mailing piece, you can do a couple of things with it. Number one is you could you can mail it just to the for sale by owners and expireds. So that's awesome. One of the common things agents always ask me is, Darryl, how do I call an expired if I can't find their phone number? Which, by the way, one of the places you should look if you're looking for somebody's telephone number. Now, by the way, the Red X is a company we recommend, and they do a superb job on that. But another place that you can look, which is not Red X. Red X is so much more than just this. But some of us old-timers would remember Kohl's Directory. Kohl's Directory is a company that when you give them a street house number and an address, that if the phone number is not listed, it can give you the telephone number. It used to be published as a big book. Well, I'm sure, I haven't checked it out, but I was talking to an agent about this yesterday in Long Island or 2 days ago, that I'm sure the Kohl's Directory is actually on the website, and there's a portal, and you can look it up that way. But anyway, getting back to this. this brazen group, this postcard, this wedding invitation card about, hey, I have buyers interested, you can use that as a mailing piece to FSBOs. You can use it as a mailing piece to expireds. And you can actually use it just as a blanket mailing piece to your farm area for those that are working a farm. I think page 24 all by itself is probably worth the full year of your enrollment into the Power Program. So I would definitely get on this and use page 24. 25 is a great ad, a sample ad to use, and here's what it says. I need it sold yesterday, like a homeowner saying that. I need it sold yesterday. And then the response is, I understand. And then it lists, this agent lists all of the addresses and the prices of the properties that they put under contract recently. You know, what time frame, it doesn't matter. You could do 30, 60, 90 days. But I think that's also a great ad. Another ad, page 26. What every person who is selling their home ought to know. In a declining market, if you want to sell your house, it's not a question if you'll lose money. Only question is how much. I have a marketing plan that will get your home sold for the most money in the shortest period of time. So there's another great ad. The only thing I would change on this ad is I have a marketing plan. I would call it a seller success system. I like that better. I have a seller success system that's designed to help get your home sold in today's challenging market. So that was how I changed that ad. On page 27, there's an ad that goes through. It says a $10 commission to sell a house. He must be crazy to give a homeowner that kind of guarantee. So that's the caption. Now, this goes on to explain, which I've talked about a few different ways and a few different times, about placing an ad telling homeowners that you're guaranteed to sell their house in 45 days or you'll work for free. And this kind of explains it, that I have a 45-point marketing plan. If it doesn't sell your house within 45 days, I'll reduce the commission and keep reducing it down to $10 until your home is sold, guaranteed in writing. Blah, blah, blah. So now there is a caveat to this, all right? So the design, the purpose of the ad is to make the phone ring. But the purpose of the, so that's the purpose of the ad. But when you go to see a homeowner, what you actually do is explain to them, for this guarantee to be in place, there's certain things that need to happen. Number one is they have to do any repairs that you recommend. Number two, they have to price it at the price that you tell them to price it at. And number three is that they have to list at a full commission, which is whatever commission you want to charge. So the truth is, if a homeowner does the price that you tell them, the improvements you tell them, and the commission that you want, it should sell in 45 days unless you don't know how to price property, which means that, whoops, you made a mistake. Now, it doesn't say you're going to work for free on day 46, but you'd reduce the commission $10 a day. It's a clever ad designed to make the phone ring. Page 28, don't buy now unless you know which homes are the best investments. I know, call me. Very simple ad, very call to action. Page 28, love it. We're going to skip that. Next page, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now, page 31, what I did is I put together, by the way, I'm going through these pages pretty quick here, so get ready. I'm going to open the call up to questions in just a minute. Well, let me just doing a little technical thing here. Give me a second. Okay. Avoid the most common mistakes home buyers make. You should customize this. Now, this looks like a flyer that you could actually use, but not really, because you should put your contact information on there. And it says, here's the most common mistakes that buyers make. They don't understand the local market and everything that's available. They're not being selective. They're trying to see everything both in their price range and not in their price range, not understanding pricing and the value of certain amenities, weak negotiating, not requiring proper inspections. So anyway, I think this is just a real good promotional flyer for buyers. I think it's a flyer that you can use as a mailing piece. You can use it to give to buyers when you first meet them. Another thing that I would definitely give to buyers when you first meet them is page 32, understanding the advantages of home ownership. And it explains, when you buy a property, you have a great tax write-off, your housing expense may never go up, if you can use decorated the way you want it to, renting. It's a great flyer, which this you could use just the way it is on page 32. You can just print that out. And I would give this to first-time buyers that you're meeting for the first time. One of the things that I covered in the class the last 3 days in the Sure Results program was how you should have a, how, just like how we have a listing appointment for sellers where we have a book or visuals, you should have the same thing with a buyer. And with a buyer, when they first come into the office, before you show them any property, you really should sit down with them and go through some credibility things about you, credibility things about your company. And the reason why that's so, so important is if you want a buyer to buy from you or with you, the first time you meet them, they really have to trust you. You know, they need to – it's kind of like this. This is, a metaphor, that, you know, agents tell me they go on a listing appointment, and some of the ones that do a two-stop approach, they do the two-stop because the whole purpose of a first stop is to really build rapport with the homeowner. There is something about seeing the house, so that way you can do a CMA, but for the most part, that's why they do it. And that is important. You know, if you need to tell a homeowner, here's what you should price it at, and here's how much time I'm going to need as far as a listing, and here's the commission I need, it's really hard for a homeowner to agree with your price, your length of listing, if they first don't like and trust you. So that is a really important component. But I've teach agents how to create that strong rapport by being present and some other techniques right on the first appointment, so you don't have to do a two-stop. You can do it all in just the one meeting. The same is true with a buyer. The buyers need to go through this discovery process of whether they like you and trust you. And most of us use the actual just taking buyers out and showing property to in order to kind of build that connection, that rapport. If you take the time to sit down with them and just get to know them, what they're committed to, give them some background about you and your company, you can alleviate those weekends of showing houses because now they like and trust you. So you want to do that. And when you have that meeting with them about you and your company, in that I would also say, especially if you're dealing with a first-time home buyer, I just want to give you something and point out why this is such a great thing for you in looking at buying a home now, because there's still a lot of people that are renting that don't realize that it's such a good thing right now to buy especially. So let me just show you this little thing I put together for you. So that'd be page 32. On page 34, helping children with the move. This is a flyer that I put together. I'm very proud of, and we're actually redoing this. I gave this out in another magazine a long time ago. And these are just helpful tips to give to children in making a move. I'll read a few just so you get a sense of it. Show the children the new home and their new room prior to moving. If it's not possible, pictures or videos will help your child visualize where they're going. Make a scrapbook of the old home in the neighborhood. Have the children write goodbye letters and enclose their new address. You may wish to call the other kids' parents so that way they encourage to write returning letters. When packing, give your child their own box to pack. They can decorate it with, you know, markers and crayons and stuff like that. When unpacking, allow them to unpack their treasures and then have them play with the empty boxes after they unpack. So this is just a flyer I put together because, you know, I have such, you know, love for kids and stuff, and I know kids can go through some trauma, even at, you'll be surprised at the youngest age, like there's a disconnect. There's a fear of when a child moves, when a child goes through divorce, and when they move from their home, those two biggest things, it scares a child about trusting people, trusting, you know, security, or lacking a sense of security. It's a real big deal. So especially as agents, as listing agents, what I encourage you to do is if a family has children, you know, even at the starting at the age of five, you really be sensitive to that because it can be traumatic to the point where they can't articulate what they're feeling, but there is something going on. I can speak from personal experience on that. On page 35, there is a great mailing piece that you can use. This is the Serious Sellers Quick Sell List. You know, when a homeowner's looking to sell a house, here are some really quick things that they can do on the outside, on the inside, and miscellaneous stuff to get their house, you know, ready for sale. You know, like double D-40 and some caulking. And this is such a great one-page flyer that we put together for you that tell you how to use this thing. First of all, you can use it as a mailing piece to FSBOs, to expireds with a cover letter. You can use this as Brian Buffini calls it drop-bys or something, where you're just dropping by to give something of value to a FSBO, to an expired. This is great as an icebreaker on a listing appointment with a for sale by owner. You know, a lot of you that are afraid of calling for sale by owners and going on those appointments, you know, here's a thought also, is that perhaps I'm making this up right now as I'm talking to you, and that is, if you look at, like, this piece that I just talked about, and if you go through some of the other magazines from previous months, last month, the month before, I'll bet you there's at least 3, 4, 5 other pieces that you can give as a gift to a homeowner when you first walk in the door and before you start going through the listing appointment, you know, where you're going to talk about why they should list with you. It's really hard for a FSBO to be pissy with you after you've just given them 2, 3, 4 gifts on that you're not asking for anything but just to help them and get their property sold. So that's it as far as the magazine is concerned. Does anybody have any questions about this that I just went over? Nothing? Okay,
Darryl, where was the magazine? Was that mailed to us? Or?
No, hon. Yeah, thanks for the question. This is when you go to the website, thepowerprogram.com, you'll see on the homepage a login. You need to log in with your username and password, otherwise you won't see it.
Okay.
And after you log in with your username and password, on the homepage you will see the magazine, and you click on it, and then you can open it up and print out the pages. You can save it locally on your computer, stuff like that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And there's something else that we did differently, which I didn't even check to see if it's up there yet. It should be, though, because my IT guy is pretty great. And that is usually what I do in the magazine every month, is I put in the magazine some visuals that you would use on a listing appointment. That you would use on a listing appointment to show a homeowner why they should sell now, why they should price their property aggressively. You know, I only do 2 or 3 of these slides every month. And then also the same thing for buyers. Here's 2 or 3 buyer slides to show a buyer why now is a good time to buy. And every month they're updated based on whatever news is out there. Well, this month what I did differently, and I'm happy that I did this for you, instead of putting it in the magazine, I actually just uploaded the actual PowerPoint slide. That way you can take the actual, you know, you need to have PowerPoint on your computer, which I think almost every computer in the world has that. So, but it, when you open it, now you can, you know, print it out in full color. You can edit it if you want. You can create a PDF of it. You can use it on your iPad. So I gave you a lot more flexibility doing it this way, so I'm happy to do it. In the magazine, you didn't have that flexibility. So let me just tell you the slides that we posted this month for buyers and the ones that we did for sellers. This month for buyers, I gave you 3 slides. One says it makes more sense to own a house than rent, and it shows the U.S. house prices versus owner equivalent rent. It's a graph, and it shows you right now it's basically cost people the same amount of money to own a home monthly. It's just a little bit more, but nothing to talk about, than it is to rent. But when you consider the tax benefits and the equity appreciation of reducing the principal of the mortgage and things like that, it actually would surpass it. So that's that slide. So it really shows a buyer, it makes, you're wasting money when you rent. The second one says home builders' confidence surges. According to the National Association of Home Builders, and this was just 2 days ago, buyer traffic, current sales, and sales expectations are all improving according to the latest sentiment index from the National Association of Home Builders. The index has, in fact, doubled since September 2011. So there's a lot of positive stuff coming from the National Association of Home Builders. And then the last one is from the Mortgage Bankers Association chief economist Jay Brinkman. 2 days ago, he said, mortgage performance continues to improve in the fourth quarter, reflecting the improvement we saw in the job market and broader economy. The total delinquency rate and foreclosure start rates has decreased and are back down to levels from 3 years ago. A major reason for this is that the loans that are seriously delinquent are predominantly made up of loans originated prior to 2008. And it goes on to explain, I don't want to bore you with the details. The bottom line is, according to Mortgage Bankers Association, they're seeing improvement. So with all of these things you show a buyer, it's like, you know, we've been seeing this for a while now. It's very possible that the prices may start to show an uptick, and if there was any time for you to get in, you need to get now. Get in now. Now, what's funny is I'm going to now tell you the seller slides, and it's going to tell you the total opposite. Hang on. It's funny. When I do this research, I'll find one company that says, hey, market's improving, and then I'll find something else that says, oh, no, we're in trouble. So let's see which one. This is from Realty Track. So this is what you would show a seller. One in every 624 homeowners received a foreclosure filing in January this year, which is up 3% from the previous month. Foreclosure activity froze in many states in 2011 due to the robo-signing thing. Well, now they're saying it's starting to thaw. We expect a pattern of increasing foreclosures to continue in coming months. So what I put on here is I put a little thing at the bottom that says there should be an increase of foreclosed homes coming to the market, pushing down prices on traditional houses. So what you want to do is you want to put a fear into the homeowner saying they're not on the market yet, but there are signs that all of the foreclosures that – and that's probably why the buyer slides are true, because in 2011, the banks stopped foreclosing, right? So what happened was any of the properties that were foreclosed, they were put – well, there's still shadow inventory, but there wasn't any more foreclosed homes really coming to the market. So we started to clean up some of the inventory that was out there on these foreclosed properties. There was a fewer selection of homes now. Buyers started getting more anxious. So we saw an increase, and a lot of my students told me January was like a really active month. There was so much great stuff happening. But now, because the banks have negotiated with the federal government and because they are now cleaned up that whole robo-signing thing, it seems as though the banks are going to go back to foreclosing on properties, which might mean that we're going to see a push on down on prices of the traditional home. Now, I'm going to tell you what you should be doing in the next 30 days based on that, but not yet. I just want to tell you, this is what you'd show a homeowner. It's like you need to get your your house on the market, and you need to price it before this other inventory comes on the market and then pushes the price down in your home even more. The second slide that I gave you, it says home prices post steep decline in November 2011, according to CNN Money. CNN posted the Case-Shiller Index, and it said that prices fell in 19 out of the 20 states. Prices are down 3.7% from a year ago. They're down by 33% almost from the peak of 2006. So, again, prices are still on a downward slide for homeowners, so they should, you know, not be so arrogant thinking their house is special and, you know, they're immune to all this. Okay. Whew, boy, and I said all of that in one breath. All right. Now, let me, so that's what I gave you this month to help you on your appointments. Now, let's talk about you. Who has a question of something that you need addressed personally that you would like me to give you some coaching on? So has anybody got any challenge or something that you would like me to help you with? This is your chance to ask me anything that you want about your business, whether it's listings, whether it's sales, negotiating, presenting offers. Anybody got a deal or something they need help with? You got a seller that's not being reasonable? So anybody? Nothing? No problem. I'm never at a loss for words. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I think you guys should be doing in the next 30 days. I'm looking at my notes, so I think I want to tell you something else. Okay, I do want to talk to you about something else before that. Hey, April, are you on the call? April? April, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I was on mute.
Okay, there you go. Hi, April. How you doing?
Hi. Okay, now I'm off speaker, off mute. Okay.
Okay, good. So listen, I can I tell them about the negotiating thing that we talked about or not? The deal
yeah,
that you
absolutely.
Just,
I actually just hung up. I was doing two calls at one time, and I don't have great news, so maybe you can help me with that.
Oh, okay. Well, damn, okay. Well, all right, so why don't you tell me what the news is first, and then because I'll address it that way. So what happened? By the way, just to bring everybody up on speed, April, he has a deal that she's been negotiating. It's a new construction, and the list price was what April?
They were originally at $318.5, and about a week ago they reduced them to $298. So they got them under that $300 number, and there's a huge amount of activity on them now.
Okay. All right.
So they're listed at $298.5.
$298.5. Okay. So what happened? What's the bad news?
I did get the buyer to come up to 290, and just now I spoke to the listing agent, and he said that he had a meeting with the builder this morning because he needed to, you know, start getting back to people on their offers. So the builder has now decided to put a reserve on that number, and unless somebody comes to 295 today, to not accept any offers until after the open house this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the builder
okay.
saw the activity, and they're getting a little greedy.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, so, you know, the challenge that you have with this one is that it's not your builder, it's not your listing, so
correct.
It's really hard to communicate directly with the builder, unless the listing agent gives you permission, like the two of you together. Do you think the listing agent let you do that?
You know, he seems like a good agent. He actually seemed not to be happy with that situation himself. It's his client, and that's what, you know, he said, unless somebody comes to 295 before the open houses, that they are, you know, going to exercise their right to view all offers on Sunday after both open houses.
Okay. All right, so here's
it's
what
a builder.
I
it's a little difficult, yeah.
Yeah, here's what I would do. I'm going to give you a conversation to have and a technique, okay?
Okay.
First of all, just to get everybody up to speed on this. So I do want to tell everybody what happened because this will help. And nothing that I teach works 100% of the time. If it did, I probably would charge a lot more than what I do. But as April said, she had this new constructions builder, and the house was – the list price was $298, right? Is that what you said, April? Okay.
Yes.
And so this buyer, his initial offer was $270, is that right?
Correct.
All right. And so so the builder countered at another number, and so the buyer was willing, and April already knew the buyer was willing to come up to $275. And so I told April, you know, really you want to get him – This is not going to work, this lower number going back and forth. Like, he's trying to save money. It's a builder. There's activity now. The price has been dropped. So he needs to play to win. So there were a couple of things that April told me. Number one is that this guy is going through divorce, and he's living in the home right now with his wife. He's not happy about it. He wants to get out. Number two is there's children involved. And so this guy is not just buying the house for him. He's buying the house for his children. He has an affection for land. He has some history with land. He wants to impress his kids with land, you know, that the house is on a big piece. So it turns out he sees this house. It has shy of an acre. It's wooded. It brings back memories of something else. The kids would love it, yada, yada, yada. But he wants to now offer $275 from $270. So I said to April what she needed to bring to the surface for this guy, that it's not about the price. It's about the feeling that it's going to be in him living in this house. So she reminded him, first of all, I also told April to look at what is the difference between $275 and $290, because I was encouraging April to get this guy to $290. And so that $15,000 in mortgage money came out to, what'd you say, April, $80?
Yeah, about $80. We worked it, you know, based on the interest rate that he's getting.
Okay. And, you know, if you minus, you know, tax savings and everything else or the tax write-off, it might even be less than that. But so
right.
What she did, she had a conversation with him just like that. You know, listen, if you want to, if you're more committed to, you know, saving the $80, that's fine. If that's what you want, I'm here for you. And if that's, it doesn't make a difference to me. But for $80 a month, you're going to get out of a bad situation that you're currently in. You're going to be able to impress your kids. You're going to get the property you're going to want. Da 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 da. Anyway, so miraculously, the guy comes up from 270 to 290. You know, and
right.
And what helped her to do that was she, you know, people are not buying a house, gang. They're buying a home. And part of the problem that happens with buyers, with what's been happening in the market, you know, over the past few years, is they're looking at houses as some kind of stock investment, and they have it be more about saving money or getting a good deal, which has always been a problem in our industry. But since the bubble busted in 2006, that's become more of an issue for us than ever. We all know that. We've felt that. We've experienced it, that buyers are, you know, looking for interest rates to go lower. They're trying to cut a deal here, cut a deal. Like, buyers are really arrogant right now, and they have been for years because they think that they're in this the power seat, which they pretty much have been. But when it comes to, like, push comes to shove and they see a house that they like, what we really have to do, gang, is really bring to the surface that we're not buying an investment. We're not even buying a car. You know, you can haggle with a car a little bit, but at some point you've got to say, are you committed to owning and creating a home for yourself and being in a place? This is going to be a place where you're going to create memories. You know, if it feels good to your heart that this is where you want to come home from work every night, if this feels good that this is where you want to bring your kids up, if this is where you want to have a neighborhood and connect with other human beings, that's what this is about. It's about home ownership. It's about beyond $80 a month. And it's real important, gang, when you're in that negotiating process, you've got to remind the buyers that that's what this is. If they want to be a savvy investor, that's fine. Let them go buy, you know, Facebook's stock when it comes out in a few months. That's where you make money. That's where you buy to make money. But here we're buying a home that's totally different. And so April did a really great job, and she got that buyer to that place from 275, 290 before she even presented it to the builder. Now, mm-hmm. April, here's what I would do with this builder.
Okay.
I would say I would first ask the agent if you can meet with him, and I think you should do it face-to-face. I never like over-the-phone kind of stuff because this is too important to do over the phone. Over the phone would be the next best choice. Now, of course, if the listing agent doesn't let you, then you'll have to try and communicate this somehow via the listing agent. And here's what mm-hmm. I would say. That from a business standpoint, any savvy business person understands this concept, is that when pigs get fat, but hogs get slaughtered.
Right.
You know, the fact that he made a good decision in pricing it lower and adjusting the price is why he now has this buyer who wanted 290 plus the other offer that came in that was at 288. But if he's going to disrespect the buyer pool, if you will, and say, okay, now I'm going to hold out for more money, he's going to lose everybody. And he's going to actually lose in the long run because now any good buyer, he's in a good place, he's got buyers, and it's because of the activity that he has is why he has now 290 versus 275. So if he loses this deal and he gets too greedy, it's very possible that he's going to be left with this house, and in 3 months from now, maybe he'll be talking about 275 again. So I would try and have that conversation with him. And as a backup, April, and this is the real kicker, we have to see if your buyer would agree to this, but that he would accept this offer at 290,
okay.
And he would entertain other offers during the weekend. And if another offer comes in higher than 290, that he would first give your buyer, the first right of refusal to match the number. And if he doesn't match the number, that he would still reimburse any expenses that this buyer just incurred, meaning that if you have an – well, you're not going to do an engineer inspection.
No, he's saving that.
So the buyer is going to go really straight from this to contract.
Correct.
Of course, if there's any attorney fees. But anyway, that's how I would negotiate it, that he would still give your buyer the first accepted, and perhaps by the end of the weekend, if any of other buyers come in with another price, that your buyer would have the first right of refusal to match it before he would sell to somebody else. What do you think?
Okay.
Do you have a question about it, or you have some apprehension?
No. You know, the listing agent is easy to speak with. He certainly will, you know, entertain that conversation.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, I was just a little upset with that, you know, with their decision today to do that, to go to, you know, 295. Mm-hmm. He said if you come to 295, I'm authorized to take a first accepted immediately. So,
yeah,
you know.
And here's what I would do. I would not, and I didn't clarify it. April, I would not bring this conversation to your buyer until you do what I just said to your current, to the builder.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
The reason why is, see, don't be honest. Like, if you call your buyer now, and before you talk to the builder, and like, you don't want to call your buyer to be honest and say, here's what happened, blah 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 blah. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and still get it for you at 290. Don't do that because you're going to piss. The buyer's going to get pissed off, and he may just withdraw the 290. Yeah, he'll just withdraw the 290. So don't talk to your buyer yet. Talk to the builder. So the listing agent gave you the information. You now call the listing agent back saying, listen, I was thinking about it, and this is just not okay. So we're gonna lose this deal, and I think he's gonna lose any other buyer that he has. And this weekend he's creating bad karma for himself, and he's gonna hurt himself. So I'd like to have a conversation with him and have him reconsider. You know, because he told us 288. So here we come. We get him 290, and now in the face of 290, he says, "No, I was only kidding about 290."
Exactly.
That's not okay. So you need to talk to the builder and wake his ass up. After that conversation, then you go back to your buyer, and then you see what happens. All right?
Okay.
That's what
Thank
I
you.
Would do. Okay. Now the rest of you, here. Let me give you because we've got 15 minutes. So first of all, what I wanted to point out, you know, I gave April some specific stuff, but what I want you to tell you is that other part about buyers, you make sure that we always keep up front for them that this is about buying a home, not buying a commodity, not buying an investment. When you're negotiating with a seller, the same thing is true, just in reverse. Now, with a builder, it's different because builders, it is about the money. They think like investors, so they're a little bit harder. So you got to talk to them from an investment business standpoint, like I just gave April's coaching. But if let's say that this person that April was dealing with is not a builder and they're a homeowner living in the house and you're just a couple of thousand dollars apart, and you can't get the buyer to move any more than they did. For example, this buyer going from 270 up to 290 is a pretty dramatic increase. And to now go back and try and get a few thousand dollars more is really not doable. You can't. I would only do that as a last resort. But in that case, I would lean on the seller now. You know, I would start talking things to the seller if it was a traditional seller, such as, you know, listen, are you committed to moving to Florida, being with the grandkids like you said you were, or are you committed to another, you know, $5,000 that you may never see? I would also say to a seller, let me ask you a question. Would you right now buy your own house for $290,000? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because right now, and April, you could still use this with the builder, by the way, because right now your property is sold at 290, and if you don't accept this offer, you just bought your own property back for $290,000. And to me, that's a mistake. So anyway, so that's it on that. Okay, now, let me look at this. So here's what I think you need to do, okay, in our last time remaining here, unless somebody has some other questions. I do believe that the foreclosures and the short sales, we're going to see an increase in that activity over the coming months. Now, I don't think we're going to see it in the next 30 days, maybe not even the next 60, but definitely going into the second half of 2012, we're going to start seeing stuff come on the market that wasn't there before. Now, the problem with that, gang, is that the buyers are going to become a lot more pickier once that starts to happen. You know, every time that there's negative news on the homeowner side, the buyers get more arrogant. So that's going to happen perhaps in the second half of this year, and which also means that sellers are going to have to drop their price more than what they may have to now. So, for example, if let's say property values nationally are just going down, you know, 1% a month. I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm just as an example. So, you know, 1%, 1%, 1%. All of a sudden, foreclosure short sales rises. It's going to go like 2%, 3% a month. So homeowners are going to lose a figure if they don't get their property sold now. So here's what I would do if I were you. If I were on the other side of this call listening to the conference, I would be building my listing inventory as much as possible the next 30 to 60 days. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you can follow me on this math here. By the way, one other thing before I forget. I see we have some people from Jersey on the call right now, in Chicago and Pennsylvania. You guys, I'm coming to your area in the next 30 days, so you should go to kickoffseminar.com. In Jersey, I'm doing Sure Results next week, but Pennsylvania and Chicago, you should go there to see where I'm going to be speaking. All right, anyway, going back to this. One of the reason why I did that is because I remember Tilly, I think her name was one of the agents in our class this past 3 days, or maybe it was Mary. But anyway, what I showed her is that she had gotten the average student in the class generated like two listing appointments every day. So in 3 days, they generated six listing appointments with FSBOs or expireds. So I want you to imagine if, let's say, over the next 30 days, if you did that 5 days, if for 5 days you just scheduled two listing appointments every day, that's 10 listing appointments a week that you generate. And let's say in a month, 4 weeks, that's 40 listing appointments in a whole month. Now let's just look at 40 listing appointments. By the way, these are not with free CMAs. These are people who are committed to selling. Of those 40 listing appointments, let's say you only listed half of those. Okay, so let's say 20 out of 40 get listed. Guys, you should get excited with what I'm saying right now. And this is just for 30 days. And of those 20, let's say only half of those actually wind up selling. So now I'm at 10. Depending on the commission that you make, you know, Oregon, it may be, you know, it's going to be a lot less than, you know, Long Island, New York, or New Jersey. But whatever the average commission is, and let's just say on this call we're going to pick the number $3,000. For Long Island, it's $5,000. But I'm going to say $3,000. That means in the next 30 days, if you just generated two listing appointments every day for 5 days and did that for 4 weeks, if I multiply those 10 sales, listings sold, by $3,000, that's $30,000 in money that you'll generate in the next 30 days. So what I would do, gang, if I were you, is I would go on a med listing campaign for the next 30 days. Do as much as possible so you can build your listing inventory. When you go on these listing appointments with the homeowners, what I would be doing is putting the fear of God into them, letting them know that here's what's happening in the market, and we're going to see an increase of short sales and foreclosures. That's why before those come to the market, you need to get your property sold. Not even on the market. You need to get it sold. So I would be thinking you guys getting like 4 month listings, not 6 month listings, maybe even 3 month listings. Tell a homeowner, listen, Mr. Masana, I don't want you to listen to me for 6 months. I want you to listen to me for 3 months and price it to sell in 3 months, because if you don't, your property probably is not going to sell unless you give it away. So I'm going to work my butt off to market your property. You need to price it aggressively, and together I think we can get the property sold in that 90-day window. That's what I would be doing right now. So a couple of tips for you if you decide to do this. Number one is you should make sure you have a solid listing appointment put together. Look through your visuals. Put your book together clean. or whatever you use. If you use a computer, use that. I'm not a fan of computers with FSBOs and expireds. It's just my feel on it. I rather use printed visuals. So that would be the first thing, is make sure you get your book together so that way you feel empowered and confident to actually go have a listing appointment or have a listing conversation with people. The second thing that I would do is pick your days of the week when you're going to schedule. Now, you know, I would say it depends on how you want to do it. If you, Gail Gladstone was one of our power leaders that did our coaching for us. Hey, Donna, are you on the call still, Donna?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Donna, darling. How are you?
Very good, sweetheart. How are you?
Good. Donna Meekin is one of our power leaders.
Hi, everyone.
Donna Meekin is one of our power leaders that she used to be with us for a while, and she's now back to coaching for us. And what was I going to say? Oh, it had nothing to do. I'm just glad that Donna's on the call. But Gail Gladstone was one of our power leaders, and one of the things that she would do when she would do one-on-one coaching with our students, she would tell them, because she knows some agents just would not make calls. And, like, they wouldn't sit down and do a marathon calling. So what she said, listen, just make two calls a day. Now, that's not what I said earlier. I said schedule two listing appointments a day for 5 days. To schedule two listing appointments, you may have to make 10 or 20 calls, depending on your skill level. You know, our coaching students, to get two listing appointments, they can schedule call five FSBOs and they'll schedule two. But for someone that doesn't have the dialogue and they don't know how to do it, she said, Gail would tell people, just make two calls a day and see what happens. And anybody can make two calls a day. So if you wanted to, you can all say, you know what, I'm just going to shoot for making two calls a day and get started that way. The other way of doing it is just schedule certain days of the week when you're going to prospect. Any of you that are into working out, going to the gym, you probably have days of the week when you go. You probably have times of the day that you go, and you've created a habit for yourself. Well, you do the same thing with prospecting. You say, you know, when I was training to run the New York City Marathon, I had to do the same thing. I had to pick certain days, certain times, and I had to commit to that. I had to work my life around that schedule. Because if you have your life and then you try and fit it in, it never gets fit in. So you have to first schedule the activity and everything else works around it. I've been having the same challenge about eating healthy, and I've been on this shake thing, blah, 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 and I'm having a lot of breakdowns. And the reason why I'm having breakdowns is because I'm first doing my life, and when I get to it, I'll go make a shake. And I can't do that. It's never going to work. I have to pick what are the times of the day that come hella high water. That time is when I go do my shake. And everything else works around it. So some of you may want to do that. You may want to pick those days of the week when, and the times that you're going to do it and make your prospecting calls. And then the last thing is make sure you do, you know, start making the calls and just go, do whatever you got to do to get the listing appointments. You may even want to have somebody go with you if you feel uncomfortable on a listing appointment. You may even want to partner up with somebody to do your prospecting calls together. So that's a basic plan. Put your book together. Feel good about your conversation. Schedule the days and or times when you're going to make your calls and just start making your calls. But, gang, if you were smart right now, you would build so much friggin' listing inventory and talk aggressively with the homeowners. Tell them you got to get your property sold. And then get as many listings sold up on your board, on the production board, before the summer hits. And then, and I think you'll be in good shape. Does anybody have any questions or comments before I let you go?
I'd love to add something, Daryl. It's Donna again.
I know you would, Donna. I expected nothing less. Before you do, though, let me see if anybody has a question. Anybody have a question that you need help with? Okay, great. So, Donna, shoot, baby.
The only thing that comes to mind to me that I'd love to share with everyone is, where are you coming
Please.
From? Where are you living from? Are you in a fear of loss, or are you in an opportunity to gain? Are you ready to see where you can go with this business, or are you too worried about what you're going to lose? And just keep that in your mind, and when you go out, magical things happen to yourself.
Awesome. Very great. Thank you, Donna, for that. It's really
powerful. I had to
really
say it. I'm
powerful.
Sorry.
No, no, don't apologize. I actually...
It's just who I am, so you know I have to say
no,
it.
No, I know you are. And listen, and here's the thing. I'm going to just tell you one thing, and then we are going to go because we're going to hit that time. Donna was in the three-day sure results on Long Island because she's just now coming back to real estate, honestly, and back to doing a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that she did was in the class when everybody's calling FSBOs and expireds, and this is going to be a good idea for some of you. She actually got it was Valentine's Day. She took the chocolate. She put her logo on, her contact information. She handed it out not just to the agents in the class, but she handed it out to all the staff in the hotel. Now, the agents are in the class. They're calling FSBOs. They're calling expireds to generate listing appointments. And Donna actually takes the candies and gives it out, like I said, to the hotel staff. She got two listing leads from hotel staff from just handing out bars. My point is that she's very passionate. She is real estate. She doesn't do real estate. And when your heart's in it, and that's what you're saying, when your heart's in it, when you love what you do, you're gonna do the things that the ordinary people don't do. So be committed, be focused. And just do all the right activities. All right, so gang, I want to thank you for calling in today. I hope this call was useful for you. Make sure you go on the website, you log in, you look through the magazine, look at the other magazines from other months because there's gems in there also. And I look forward to talking to you guys on the next call. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Okay. I gave up my gym.